Lesson 32, Purity of Thought. This lesson should help strengthen our commitment to have pure thoughts. Introduction. President Spencer W. Kimball once told the following fable to illustrate how pure thoughts and righteous living affect a person. Lord George had led an evil life. He had been dishonest. He had been a gambler and a drunkard, and his face reflected the life he had led. It was a very evil face. One day he fell in love with a simple country girl named Jenny Meir, and he asked her to marry him. She told him that she could never marry a man whose face was so evil-looking. She wanted a man with a face like a saint, because love is reflected in a person's face. Lord George decided that he would change his life, but knew that Jenny Meir wouldn't marry him as he was. So Lord George went to a man who was an expert at making waxen masks. This man selected a mask, heated it, and fixed it to Lord George's face. When he looked in the mirror, Lord George found that he had the face of a saint who loved dearly. His appearance was so different that Jenny Meir soon agreed to marry him. They bought a little home in the country that had a tiny garden spot. Lord George soon found that his entire life was changing. He became interested in nature and the world around him. He became filled with kindness and love. But Lord George was not content with just starting a new life. He did his best to make up for the past. He tried to give back all the money he had gained through dishonesty. Every day his character became more righteous and his thoughts more pure. By accident, some of his old friends discovered where he was. They came to his garden and tried to persuade him to return to his old evil life. When he refused, they attacked him and tore the mask from his face. He hung his head. He felt as if his new life was ended and his marriage ruined. As he stood with his head bowed and the mask on the grass at his feet, Jenny Meir rushed to him and threw herself on her knees in front of him. When she looked up at him, what do you suppose she found? Yes, line for line and feature for feature, his face was the same as that of the mask. His face had become the face of a saint. After telling this story, President Kimball said, "There is no doubt that the life one leads and the thoughts one thinks are registered plainly in his face." Adapted from To Bear the Priesthood Worthily, Ensign, May 1975, pages 80 and 81. Our thoughts lead to actions. How do our thoughts affect our actions? President David O. McKay often spoke of the effect thoughts have on actions. On one occasion he said, "Thoughts are the seeds of acts and precede them. The Savior's constant desire and effort were to implant in the mind right thoughts, pure motives, noble ideals, knowing full well that right words and actions would inevitably follow." Stepping Stones to an Abundant Life, page 206. What helps a person become righteous and faithful in all things? Part of living righteously is thinking pure thoughts. Nephi is a good example. The son of a great prophet, Nephi sought to receive revelation just like his father. His righteousness was rewarded, and he himself became the prophet for his people. What did Nephi do that helped him be righteous? Nephi gives us a clue to how he was able to live righteously when he wrote, "For my soul delighteth in the scriptures, and my heart pondereth them, and writeth them for the learning and the profit of my children. Behold, my soul delighteth in the things of the Lord, and my heart pondereth continually upon the things which I have seen and heard." 2 Nephi chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. Our thoughts greatly influence our actions. If we think righteous thoughts, we will perform righteous acts. If we think evil thoughts, we will eventually commit the sins we have been thinking about. President David O. McKay told the following story. "Many years ago, a young man came to me while I was president of the European Mission and made a confession of a wrong and sinful act. He justified himself by saying that he happened to be in a bookstore at the closing hour, and when the door was locked, he yielded to temptation. He rather blamed the circumstances for his fall. But I said, 'It wasn't the circumstances. It wasn't the locked door, nor the enticement. You had thought of that before you went to that bookstore. If you had never thought of that act, there would have been no circumstance strong enough to entice or to tempt you, a missionary, to fall.' The thought always precedes the act. Cleanliness is next to godliness." Instructor, March 1965, page 86. James Allen once wrote, "A man's mind may be likened to a garden, which may be intelligently cultivated or allowed to run wild. But whether cultivated or neglected, it must and will bring forth. If no useful seeds are put into it, then an abundance of useless weed seeds will fall therein and will continue to produce their kind. Just as a gardener cultivates his plot, keeping it free from weeds and growing the flowers and fruits which he requires, so may a man tend the garden of his mind, weeding out all the wrong, useless, and impure thoughts, and cultivating toward perfection the flowers and fruits of right, useful, and pure thoughts. By pursuing this process, a man sooner or later discovers that he is the master gardener of his soul, the director of his life. He also understands with ever-increasing accuracy how the thought forces and mind elements operate in the shaping of his character, circumstances, and destiny. As a Man Thinketh, page 15. What must we do to have a garden that produces good foods and flowers? What have we done if our garden produces weeds? What must we do to have a mind that leads us to good actions? What have we done if our minds lead us to evil and worthless actions? Elder Bruce R. McConkie has said, "If we are pondering in our hearts the things of righteousness, we shall become righteous. Think on these things." Ensign, January 1974, page 48. Said another way, "The Lord hath said he dwelleth not in unholy temples, but in the hearts of the righteous doth he dwell." Alma chapter 34, verse 36. Pure thoughts help us to so live that the Spirit of the Lord will be with us. And if we have the Holy Ghost with us, our lives will eventually be purified. Keeping thoughts pure. Have a class member read Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. What does Paul tell us to think about? List the answers on the chalkboard. Whatever is true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report, virtuous, or praiseworthy. Page 272. It is not enough to keep our minds free from evil if we are to become like Christ. We have to keep our minds filled with good and virtuous thoughts. Whenever we can, we should think about the truths of the gospel. One of the best ways to do this is to keep the promise we make when we partake of the sacrament, to always remember the Savior. When President Spencer W. Kimball was a member of the Quorum of the Twelve, he said, "When you look in the dictionary for the most important word, do you know what it is? It could be remember. Because all of you have made covenants. You know what to do, and you know how to do it. Our greatest need is to remember. That is why everyone goes to sacrament meeting every Sabbath day to take the sacrament and listen to the priests pray that they may always remember him and keep his commandments which he has given them." Circles of Exaltation. Address given to seminary and institute personnel at Brigham Young University, June 28, 1968. How can we always remember the Savior? Have one or two class members share ideas about how to always remember him. The great prophet Alma gave some wise counsel to his son Helaman that could help us always remember the Savior. Have a class member read Alma, chapter 37, verses 35 through 37. What difference should it make to direct our thoughts always to the Lord? We can resist temptation and develop greater faith, obedience, and love. How can prayer help us keep our thoughts and actions pure? Evil influences surround us in the world, and Satan uses these things to try to influence our minds. He has many ways to tempt us, but we can do much to defeat him if we avoid listening to and reading or watching things that are evil. Elder J. Thomas Fiennes has clarified this principle by using the rivers of South America to illustrate how our thoughts are affected by what we read or see. One interesting feature about the rivers of South America is their different colors. The Madeira, for example, is called a white river because its waters carry fine clay particles along its course. The black color of the Rio Negro comes from decaying organic materials picked up in the forest through which it passes. Still other rivers flow over white sands and often appear emerald green or turquoise blue. Just as these rivers are colored by the substances picked up as they flow along, so the streams of our thoughts are colored by the material through which they are channeled. In Conference Report, Buenos Aires Area Conference, 1975, pages 28 and 29. How is a mind like a river? Just as a river is colored by what it touches, our minds are affected by what we read, see, or hear. What evil things does Satan use to try to influence our thoughts? Pornography, immoral or immodest people, vulgar language, and certain types of music, dance, and entertainment. Because they are so destructive to our spirituality, we should avoid evil things that will cause our thoughts to be evil. But sometimes, no matter how hard we try to keep our minds clean, we have to deal with an immoral or wicked thought that pushes itself into our minds. We live in a world filled with evil, and confrontation with evil things is often inescapable. What do we do when we are faced with a situation like this? Elder Boyd K. Packer has explained one way we can fight against evil thoughts. The mind is like a stage. The curtain is always up except when we are asleep. There is always some act being performed on that stage. It may be a comedy, a tragedy, interesting or dull, good or bad, but always there is some act playing on the stage of the mind. Have you noticed that without any real intent on your part, in the middle of almost any performance, a shady little thought may creep in from the wings and attract your attention? If you permit them to go on, all thoughts of any virtue will leave the stage. You will be left, because you consented to it, to the influence of unrighteous thoughts. If you yield to them, they will enact for you on the stage of your mind anything to the limits of your toleration. They may enact a theme of bitterness, jealousy, or hatred. They may be vulgar, immoral, or even depraved. What do you do at a time like that? I would teach you this. Choose from among the sacred music of the church a favorite hymn, one with words that are uplifting and music that is reverent, one that makes you feel something akin to inspiration. Go over it carefully in your mind. Memorize it. Even though you have had no musical training, you can think through a hymn. Now use this hymn as the place for your thoughts to go. Make it your emergency channel. Whenever you find that these shady actors have slipped from the sidelines of your thinking onto the stage of your mind, put on this record, as it were, page 274. As the music begins, and as the words form in your mind, the unworthy thoughts will slip shamefully away. The hymn will change the whole mood on the stage of your mind. Because it is uplifting and clean, the baser thoughts will disappear. For while virtue by choice will not associate with filth, evil cannot tolerate the presence of light. Once you learn to clear the stage of your mind from unworthy thoughts, keep it busy with learning worthwhile things. Change your environment so that you have things about you that will inspire good and uplifting thoughts. Keep busy with things that are righteous. Teach ye diligently, pages 46 and 47. What are other methods we can use to channel our thoughts? Pray, recite a poem, scripture, or thought. Think about a sacred experience or place. Real happiness is not dependent on external things. The kind of happiness that stays with you is the happiness that springs from inward thoughts and emotions. You must think as of now while you are young. You must cultivate your mind if you wish to achieve enduring happiness. You must furnish your mind with interesting thoughts and ideas. For an empty mind grows bored and cannot endure itself. An empty mind seeks pleasure as a substitute for happiness. William Lyon Phelps, quoted by Harvey Fletcher, The Good Life, page 137. Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3. Conclusion. Our thoughts influence our actions. Pure thoughts and desires lead us to live righteously. Evil thoughts cause us to lose the Spirit of the Lord and can lead us to do evil. To keep our minds clean, we should always strive to think about the things of God. We should ponder the truths of the gospel and pray constantly. As we do this, we are promised great blessings. The Lord has promised, "Let virtue garnish thy thoughts unceasingly. Then shall thy confidence wax strong in the presence of God. The Holy Ghost shall be thy constant companion." Doctrine and Covenants, section 121, verses 45 and 46. We can keep our thoughts pure by avoiding evil in our lives. When a bad thought comes into our minds, we should immediately start to think about something inspiring. We can use a hymn, poem, scripture, or other thought to do this. We can also begin to pray whenever an unclean thought enters our mind. Challenge 1. Several times a day, remember to think about the things of the Lord. Do your best to always remember Him. 2. Remember that your mind is like a garden. Do your best to grow righteous thoughts in it. 3. Decide on a way to channel your thoughts. A good way to do this is to memorize one of your favorite hymns, scriptures, or poems. Whenever you are faced with an unclean thought, immediately think through the words you have memorized. They will force the evil thought away. Teacher preparation. Before presenting this lesson, 1. Plan to involve the young priesthood holders in your class in the lesson as much as possible, so it will have an impact on them. 2. Ask class members to read or present stories and scriptures in this lesson. End of lesson 32, Purity of Thought.